are listening to Dovetails with Deborah, a show about encouragement as we empower you with tales and testimonies of many who share what has happened to them as the Holy Spirit rests on them like a dove.
Hello, everybody. I hope you've been having a wonderful, wonderful week. It's nice to be back with you. Well, good afternoon, and welcome back to another motivating and another inspiring and another empowering episode of Dovetails. Perhaps on a previous Sunday, you have tuned into our program, which delights in unpacking the tales, the testimonies, the ups, downs, the bitter and oh-so-sweet and tender moments of the tumultuous Christian journey. The walk is not about perfection, folks, but what God promises is meeting our impossible with His impossible. Folks, there's a misunderstanding, a misconception regarding the mindset of the Christian walk. Today, being a Christian, as C.S. Lewis describes in his book, Mere Christianity, it must be explained because during the rise of the early church in biblical days, we have to understand that Christianity meant a believer, a follower, and a disciple of the risen Jesus Christ. You can imagine in biblical times it wasn't very popular to believe in a man that was crucified on the cross. It wasn't popular to believe in anyone who believed that death couldn't hold Jesus and that in this belief they would not die but have eternal life. A Christian believes in the deity of Christ, the virgin birth, his bodily resurrection, and his second coming. But today, sadly, some onlookers and even some Christians believe that being a Christian means I am perfect, I'm better than you, I'm without fault, I'm without blemish. Today, being a Christian seems to portray one as good or better than others. This mindset is far from the truth. For as a believer myself, I personally see more of my blemishes and my faults and my fallible ways. It is in union with Christ that one is seen as righteous. But folks, we have to realize this. We are not righteous, not one of us. Christ has to stand in the gateway for us to even be looked upon as righteous or seen, as the Bible says, as righteous. This, my friends, is really what Dovetails is all about. It's the bitter and the sweet moments of this Christian walk as one allows the work of the Holy Spirit to lead them into all truth. Because that's what we're really looking for. We're looking for the truth. We're looking for God to step into our lives and to reveal to us what we have trouble with for ourselves. It's really God's truth, and it's God's will for our lives. Because in our hearts, we finally have made the choice to surrender to His will and abandon our own. So if it is your first time tuning into Dovetails, I pray you like what you hear and are left hungry for more. Welcome to our program, and my name is Deborah Lassiter. I am the founder of DCL Ministries, a ministry which highlights random acts of kindness along with teaching the Word of God while bringing it to the ear of the listener. And if you're interested in joining the movement, please log on to www.dclministries.com to read the Sunday devotionals, the thought-provoking articles, and highlighted ministries on our very own Writer's Corner. Well, folks, you are in for a special treat today. If you've been following our series, if you've been sort of making sure that you're setting aside Sundays for us, every Sunday we are dedicating a show to separation and divorce. Today we are in our fourth installment, our fourth broadcast of this awesome show with my co-host, I love her, the lovely Rachel Kidder. She's awesome, folks, awesome. So for the next 2 months, Dovetails, again, is going to be dedicating and really unpacking and discussing your experiences along with our own regarding the horrible and wretched pain, the horrible dismemberment of being separated or divorced. Folks, we are encouraging you, and we want you to call in, share your stories, your comments. Even if you have questions, we will definitely try to answer. And you can do that by dialing 646-668-8485. Press 1 to be live on the air. And I'll repeat that number. It's 646-668-8485. Press 1 to be live on the air. Now, keep in mind, you know, those of you that have been really following our series and joining in and calling in and asking questions, we've really been able to build on each episode, which is really awesome. In reality, you know, Rachel and I, we've really been using the Lord and having the Lord guide us from series to series. So anyway, we are building, and the next is always different from the previous. Well, today's question, is faith or fear dictating your choices? As many of you hear that question, quickly take note of what immediately comes to mind. Many of you are rooted in your faith, yet struggle with remaining faithful. You know what I mean when I say, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Now, on the other side to that same coin are the many who make life-altering choices based and rooted in fear. Many of us have never invested in Christ, so when things go wrong, we find ourselves running from person to person, from fortune tellers to prophets, from media to meditation. But we never consider running to our Creator, the one who invested in His creation, the one who begot our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the life, the way, and the truth. Today is about performing surgery on ourselves, taking a scalpel, if you will, and looking at what lays beneath all the pain, the tears, masking and spending when trying to survive the heartbreak stemming from the emotional pain of separation and divorce. Today, folks, we hope to add more to your toolbox. You see, Christ came to build relationships while setting the captives free. But is fear or faith, is that what's leading your choices, dictating your choices? Well, let's spend some time together and find out. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
What's up, y'all? This is your bro, Robbie Newborn, Christian rap evangelist, ministry leader, and founder of GDT Walking Out Ministries, a drug awareness, peer mentoring, and counseling ministry that spreads a message of hope to the hopeless, bringing the gospel to the street. I am a recovery specialist, intervention, drug prevention professional. So if you're looking for a counselor or counseling or someone to just talk to, please call me at 484-525-9832. My website is www.rdsjr.com. God bless you all from all of us at GDT, Walking Out Ministries, and Team God. Peace and Christ love. Come on!
Hi, this is Chef Yari from YariCooks.com, and you're listening to Dovetails with my favorite host, Deborah, on PJC Media.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah, right here on WPJC 104.5.
Whoop, 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 and we are back. Oh, folks, we are on our fourth show of our six-month series discussing, well, really unpacking separation and divorce. We're so very excited that you've taken some time out on your Sunday afternoon to join us. Please know that you can find us here every Sunday, 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time, as we just unpack everything in regards to people's testimony, their stories, their heart, their triumphs, their fears, Speaking of that, today my guest and co-host Rachel Kidder was on Dovetails, sharing her tremendous testimony. And after that, we prayed and decided to partner for this series based on the heartache we experienced individually. We continue with this series not as individuals who know all the answers, but as students still on the quest for godly counsel, as well as individuals with something to contribute. Rachel Kidder and I would like to encourage you all to call in to express your comments, your questions, or your personal experience. We want to celebrate victorious moments. We want to relish in your praise reports, and we want to soothe, uplift, and encourage those still in the midst of their trauma. This show is about the power of Jesus Christ revealed through the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit. So, with that being said, let the conversation begin as I welcome my beautiful, delightful co-host and author, Rachel Kidder. Welcome back, Rachel.
Thank you so much. It's such a blessing to be here with all of you.
You are a blessing. I keep saying that in my heart as just spending time with the Lord. Well, we are on our fourth installment, babe, and this is, you know, it's been a journey. I don't know about you, Rachel, but as we continue to go through this series, I know you and I have said at even moments that, wow, my divorce was, I got divorced, finalized in 2011. I was separated in 2008. And going through just the material and the topics that you and I have gone through, it's been, you know, I had to kind of stop and say, wow, I've been through a lot. And I had to really stop and think and say, oh, my goodness, you know, I've been through some tough times. And this pain is really real. I know you were expressing the same type of thing.
Completely. It's just from doing this series, you just from hearing other people's stories. And like you said, like repeating your own story, sometimes you forget. And forget that, like, wow, I made it through all of this stuff with God's help. You know, and it's been amazing. And it's been a healing process, too, hearing other people's stories of triumph and so much encouragement. And it's just, it's very humbling and wonderful.
It is, again. It's humbling again.
Yes. Yes.
Well, folks, as you listen to us today, as you call in and hear callers with their questions, I wanted to start off or even reiterate again for this series, the remainder of our series, and for any of you just wondering or pondering, Rachel and I realize that some of our advice might not exactly apply to you. That's why we have callers calling in and we have people joining into this conversation. Rachel and I, we have experience because both of us have gone through a divorce and we've gone through separation. We've gone through those highs and lows. But all the more reason for you to pray for whatever you hear on this on these shows. God knows exactly what is applicable to your situation. And so a lot of times Rachel and I will be speaking in general terms. We'll go specific when we talk about our own personal devastations. But we really want to bring godly principles to your life so that you can apply that. Those of you listening today, we could have a slew of people that are Bible-thumping Christians that love the Lord and you are struggling, right? Right? As I said in the beginning of the show, you believe, but help me with my unbelief. On the other end, we could have people that are calling in, people that are listening that don't know God. We want to let you know that that is okay. This is a safe place for questions. It's a safe place for us to explore and to share for all of us to learn. So with that being said, I wanted to start off with a scripture, and Rachel, you know, feel free, girl, you jump in whenever you feel like it. I'm going to start off with a wonderful scripture that Rachel reminded me of, and I felt that we need to remind those that are listening today. The scripture comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, and it's a lengthy verse, but it's starting with verse 25, and it says this: "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And I wanted to bring this text up because in this text, and I know many of you out there, you're like me, anxious. Anxious. You wake up anxious. You go to sleep anxious. But in this text, you're wondering how you're going to pay the bills. You're wondering how I'm going to raise my children. You're wondering how I'm going to even have the energy to get up in the morning. You're wondering. But it says your Heavenly Father, he's the one who feeds you. He's the one that's doing it. He's the one that's trying to restore and replenish. But this text, I feel, if you are anxious, how can God get to you, right? Think about it this way. If you are a listener and you don't know God, if you're anxious and you're upset and you're angry and you're feeling bitter, how can your best friend even talk with you? How can your best friend give you some word of advice? Someone that you do listen to, someone that you do respect. So I wanted to sort of bring that text up to kind of christen what it is that we're trying to do here, which is rid you of that anxiousness, rid you of trying to take it on yourself. Rachel, go ahead. You can add to this text as well. Any thoughts
sure.
that come to your mind?
Definitely. I am, or was, very much a person that would be anxious for everything. I had really bad anxiety for a long time and worried about everything. Everything. Is it going to work out? What's coming next? Whatnot? And since I, came into relationship with the Lord, he's really taught me over time, what faith is and how to step out in faith and, what things, he doesn't bring us, anxiety and all those feelings. So it's just like he knows what's best for us. He knows what's coming. And with the Lord, it is all good, better than we could ever imagine. So even though we can't see what's ahead of us, even though we don't know what's coming, the Lord does. And the Lord wants the best for us because he loves us so much. And that's something that did take time for me to learn. And he actually, brought me through some things to allow me to learn those things, to allow me to learn faith and know that there's no need to be anxious for anything because God's got the best for me. And I've learned that through situations and through stories, and it is hard. And I have to remind myself that sometimes, you have to walk it through and be like, this is not the Lord. And the Lord, he has only the best for me. So there's no need for me to worry.
I love that. You always bring such a warm, toasty, feeling. Just the love of the Lord. You hear that in your voice, and you can only give that, Rachel, because you're receiving that from God. And
100%.
I know that. That encourages me, and I know it's got to be encouraging other people that are tuning in. One other thing that I wanted to just bring to our attention within the text. But before I do that, I wanted for each of us to think about what we think is most valuable. What is our most valuable possession? Do you have something in your mind? I know you have something in your mind. Well, hold on to that thought, because in this text, God says, are you not of more value? Are you not of more value? One of the things that we tend to be anxious about are finances, and that's one of the things that we are going to dip into today just through this conversation. And we can really struggle, especially many of you out there that you were in a home that needed two parents working in order to make ends meet. And now you're going through a separation. Now you're going through a divorce. And you are thinking, I wake up anxious because I really don't know how I'm going to, I don't know how I'm going to pay these bills. But God says this, you are valuable. Let's put everything else aside. You are of value. You have this worth about you. God's not going to have you on the street begging for bread. That God's going to supply for you.
Amen.
And I can't help but think of that prophet Elijah. He's sitting there. He's told to tell the king that there's a famine coming, whether you like it or not. And God says, but don't worry, Elijah. I'm going to provide for you. A raven is going to come to you and feed you food. I want us to keep in mind our value. I know you have responsibilities. I know you have family. I know you're expected to still think and laugh and interact and go to church. And, you know, sometimes it's so difficult when somebody says to you, you know, that's one thing, Rachel, I went through when I was going through my divorce. People would ask a simple question like, how are you today? I couldn't answer it, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. It's like, do you have 45 minutes? Because that's what's on my mind. You know, if I say anything, that's how long it would be.
It's hard, you know, a simple question. It's hard. You know, how's your family? It's falling apart. How's your job? I've gotten written up.
Mm-hmm.
How's your children? I don't have any. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but getting back to the value, I really hope that you understand from God's perspective how valuable you are, and what your worth is. So keep that in mind as well as we trailblaze through this. Rachel, I wanted for you to comment on this next text, and it comes from 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Man. That verse is just amazing because, you know, through Jesus Christ, he just willingly gives us grace. So if we screw up, you know, he willingly gives us those things. You know, if we're, you know, falling from grace, he picks us back up and he gives us chances and forgiveness. And it's so wonderful. So if you get into a situation where it feels hopeless, and it feels like I'm never going to come back from this. How can I rebuild what I lost? Especially after divorce, you feel so lost. But through God's grace and love, he really scoops you up and gives you every chance. So when you feel like, you know, you're broken, he walks alongside you when you don't even know it. You know, even like at first, I didn't even know really, I didn't have a relationship with the Lord. And I look back at all the times that he was walking with me. And he loves me, and he just thinks I am wonderful, just like he thinks you're wonderful, regardless of your faults, you know, regardless of the things. And you walk through, and you have these difficult situations, but he's going to take that grace and use those hard times and those difficult situations for your good, for strength, to help other people, to help yourself. And it's just so, oh, it's wonderful to know the Lord and know that he loves you so much that he will do everything and never leave you, no matter what. And it's a learning experience every single time, you know. And with that grace, you know, we try not to screw up, but it happens. But he forgives us, and we move on, and we learn from it. And he loves us just the same.
I'm telling you, it's many of us feel so weak, and you said lost. You know, that word just sort of permeates in my mind, lost, disheveled. I remember I had, you know, I was going through my separation. I wasn't divorced yet, or we hadn't really started that process. And I remember I was like, well, I was going for my real estate license because we had several properties, and I wanted to just kind of really further that portion of the business. And I remember I was like, oh, I'm going to put it out of my mind. I'm going to forget that, you know, all this chaos is happening and the infidelity that's happening. I'm going to forget that I don't feel good about myself. I'm going to just put some makeup on and get my hair done, you know, just all the things that mask. And I remember I went on this interview because I was trying to transition from my full-time job to now becoming a part of a real estate company. Anyway, I I can't even remember the interview, to tell you the truth. It was just, it was that, it was a blur. It was all a blur. And I remember getting outside. I was in the city. I couldn't find my car. And I'm not like that. You know, I'm pretty good with, like, I dot my I, I cross my T, I'm organized, I prepare. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's just the way that I'm built. And I remember I'm like a disheveled woman in the middle of the street crying because I can't find my vehicle. I mean, I think I spent 30 minutes to 45 minutes looking for my car on one street, the next street. And when I finally found it, it was like literally a half a block down from my interview, but I couldn't find it. And I know many of you out there that you're listening and you're feeling the same way. You're even distraught that you are asked to function, that you're expected to function. I don't know about you, but when I would walk outside, things slowed down in front of me because I couldn't believe life was still moving along and no one could see the pain. One thing I wanted to bring up while we're talking about emotions and feelings that is our free giveaway, folks. Call on in, share your story, because we really want Rachel's book is amazing. She has this gorgeous book, Healing Grace Scripture Journal, and it's a 30-day Bible study journal for emotional healing. I bring that up within this portion of the show, because with those emotions, Rachel and I both felt that journaling was such a great way to pour out some of these thoughts and, you know, trying to connect the dots. So I wanted to really bring that up to encourage you out there. I don't know if you journal. I don't know if that's even something that you would be open to, but journaling was such a great way I found to explore my thoughts without being condemned for them. You know, sometimes speaking with others, they make you feel weird about, you know, having particular thoughts but Rachel, what do you think about the journaling? I know obviously you wrote the book, but
yeah, I absolutely love journaling. For one, when going through a hard time, and you said it, you forgot where your car was and it wasn't even, you know, that far away. So really, for me, during that time, I didn't have a memory of things. And I also couldn't focus on anything good. So by journaling, it allows you to write down, even if it's one thing, I woke up, like, that's an amazing thing. You know, just write down one positive thing that happened today, that day, even if it's tiny. So you can look back and see, like, wow. And, you know, even if you write once a week, I was able to look back and say, wow, I really was getting better and I didn't feel like it, because you focus on those days where you regress and, you know, you did great, you know, yesterday, but now it's awful again. But then it gets better. And you look back and, you know, you can see that progression. But overall, I was getting better that entire time. But without writing that down, I would have probably not remembered so much of it. So, and just to speak out those feelings, sometimes you can't, you know, you don't have anybody to talk to, or nobody is understanding because some people don't get it. So it's nice to just be able to get those thoughts out on paper.
And just
it's...
No, you just triggered a thought, like, in regards to, you know, our topic of, is fear dictating your choice? You know, that like what you're saying, journaling could really help with some of those anxious thoughts. Just sometimes just getting it out really helps, so that you're not making decisions in fear, right? Like you're getting those thoughts out. You're finding a way to express it, and yet you're also when you're able to look back and read that journal, you can look and say, I'm glad I didn't make that decision. I'm glad I didn't follow through with that one. Go ahead. Sorry,
right.
Rachel. You were saying something.
Oh no, that's fine. And if I could, it's interesting because on the, you know, faith and fear, that journal would have never come about if I had not have gone in faith.
Mm.
And if I could tell a short story,
yes,
I was working at a job, single mom, and this was just actually a few years ago, and I was there for 8 years. And it was getting to the point where I was absolutely miserable, just miserable. And it was really for the last probably year, but the last few months, I'd go home crying every day. It was just, I just felt beaten up and like I wasn't progressing. And let me tell you, I mean, I worked, did everything in fear in my life, it seemed like. And it was interesting because finally I got to a point where I'm like, you know what? I think I'm just going to give my notice. I've applied at a couple places, and I had one interview and didn't hear back. So I said, you know what? I had, for some reason, this overwhelming faith that I have never had in my life. And I said, you know what? I'm going to give my two-week notice, and God has me. I know He does. So I gave my two-week notice. The place that I interviewed for that I never heard back, I ended up calling them when my notice was up. And just to reiterate, I was a single mother. I've never left a job, ever, with no prospects or no, you know, like no finances.
Right, sounds insane,
like,
right?
I completely, and I don't recommend that for everybody, but in my situation, I just had, it was just overwhelming the faith. So I called the job that I had the interview with. They said, oh, yeah. So I came in, I had a second interview, and I told the woman, she asked, where are you working? I'm like, well, actually, I just stopped working. I'm like, I gave my, and I was so honest, and usually I'd be like, I think of a story. And I was so honest, and I said, no, I went on faith. I'm like, I was just, you know, I believe in the Lord, and I had so much faith that He was going to look after me and that everything was going to be okay, so I gave my two-week notice. And she looked at me, and she's like, wow. She's like, that's unbelievable. She called me that day, and I was hired, and she said, well, she's like, enjoy the rest of this week. She's like, you'll start next week, so enjoy your vacation. And it was the most amazing thing. So here I am at this job, and it allowed me to have the time and the weekends off to be able to write this journal. And it was just, it would have never happened, ever happened, if I had stayed.
Wow.
And, you know, even if we have overwhelming faith, we have a choice to be like, oh, I'm too scared out of fear. I'm not going to do that, you know.
Mm.
But I can't fathom that I just leave a job without any pay again. But
right, it's not
moment,
like you. It's not
right.
Like you, your character.
Yes,
like no one would say,
yes.
Oh, that sounds like Rachel.
Completely. And I had a child by myself. So, but it's amazing how God takes a situation, and He really, I mean, I had so much faith, and He took that, and then without it, I would not be where I am today. And I've learned so much about faith because of that situation, like truly, because it was just unstoppable faith. And if I had not done that, and I had just been fearful, I would have spent how many more months crying every day and just miserable, when really He had the best things for me, but I just had to make one choice and step out in faith.
Folks, I hope you are hearing this. I hope you are feeling encouraged. The book that I have in my hands right now, I would not have if Rachel did not step out on faith. If she invested more in her tears than she did in action, I would not have this book to give away to you today. I mean, is that amazing? That she took her anxiousness and she casted it on God. She said, I can't do this alone. She understood her value. She said, I might not have a new job, but I know this one's coming to an end. That's what she's saying. Those of you out there, you're listening today, the scripture said, my grace is sufficient for you. And in my power, in God's power, is made perfect in what? In our money? No, God's power is made perfect in the job? No, God's perfect is made powerful in our weakness. I tell you, folks, when I was crying on the ground and feeling pathetic, Holy Spirit said, this very scripture came to my mind, and Holy Spirit said, Deborah, it is in your weakness we will do your greatest work. He didn't say when I found the right house. He didn't say when I got remarried. As a matter of fact, He told me, I'm not making you whole so you could get remarried. I'm just making you whole. I'm just making you whole. I know so many of you, you're listening today, and you're thinking life has come to an end, but Rachel and I are here to tell you life has just begun. I was getting my real estate license. I'm doing dovetails. I mean, we're doing dovetails. God's like, you're not pursuing real estate. I didn't know that. I was in the street looking for my car. Rachel is there going through a separation, going through a divorce. She decides to leave her job. I mean, sounding crazy. And
completely.
You know, but in the midst of transition, she writes a book. Folks, there's hope out there. If you want to grab it, if you want to choose faith rather than fear, if you want to live a life of plenty and not a life of lack, God has a way for you to go. And we're here to tell you to trust him, trust him, trust him. Oh, we're so excited for the things that you're learning and what you are stirring up in Rachel and I for this series. It's a reminder of hope. It's a reminder to live again. It's a reminder that God has the last say, and not life, and not man, and not divorce, and not separation. Ah, we're hot, hot, hot. So we're going to take a really, really short break. But before we go, again, those of you that want to share your story and talk to Rachel and I, perhaps you have a comment, maybe you have a question, feel free to call us at 646-668-8485. Press 1 to be live on the air. And please call up. We can give you this free, gorgeous book, Healing Grace Scripture Journal by Rachel K. Kidder. It's a 30-day Bible study journal for emotional healing. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
Jesus said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Listen to our internet radio station at touchofgodradio.org, where you will find out your true identity in Christ. You can use the light that is within you to replace the darkness in this world. Go into all the world today with touchofgodradio.org.
This is Catherine Beuse, author and founder of Defend the Faith Ministry, and you're listening to Dovetails with Deborah right here on PJC Media.
Has God called you to be a pastor or leader, but the men and women in your church won't let you speak because you're a female? Is the call to minister strong on your life, but you hesitate because you think the Bible tells women to be silent in the church? I'm Jory Micah, and I am here to tell you, sister, that together we can break the glass steeple. I fight and advocate for gender equality in the church, and there are others with me who are holding up the banner. Subscribe to my blog at JoryMicah.com for interviews, commentary, and uplifting words to give you the motivation to answer the call to ministry. Together, we can break the glass steeple and inspire all of God's children, men and women alike, answer the call to ministry.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens, and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The SpecFaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com. Exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah right here on WPJC 104.5. And we are back, and you are tuning in to Dovetails. Again, make sure you come and find us every Sunday, 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We love uplifting you and motivating you with tales and testimony of people and their triumphs and their fears and their doubts. But we most certainly, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we love victory. Victory at its best. Folks, we are having a wonderful time this Sunday afternoon. We are continuing our series on separation and divorce with my wonderful co-host, Rachel Kidder. Rachel is also a blogger. She has a website, www.revivehouse.com. It's a wonderful, wonderful site for just glorifying God and talking about various topics to motivate you, to empower you, to inspire you and uplift you. And again, she is the author of Healing Grace Scripture Journal. It's a 30-day Bible study journal for emotional healing. And for us, that operative word is emotional. It was an emotional time as Rachel and I went through our own divorce. My name, I'm your host, Deborah, and I'm the founder of DCL Ministries. I'm the author of Beyond the Face of the Movies and The Women God Used, just having a wonderful time using my gifts for the Lord, but I would have never discovered them if it wasn't for me getting a divorce. That's kind of one thing, one credit I give to my ex-husband. I'm like, thank you. So anyway, with that being said, Rachel, I wanted to talk about the humbling process. I wanted to talk about how God will put people in our path to help us. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I think
sure. With,
me in particular, I was very prideful and stubborn, especially at first after I got divorced. I had the whole, I can do this on my own. You know, I don't need anybody. I can do it on my own. It'll be fine. And it's amazing through all my talk that the Lord still sent these amazing people in my life, some of which I've never even met before. But he used these people to heal me in so many ways. And one thing in particular, probably about 4 or 5 years ago, I had no money, single mom, really struggled, and it was Christmas time. And I had to get 2 tires. They were bald. I'm in the place waiting for my tires to be done and waiting for me to write a check that would bounce. And
you say it so calmly.
I was fully prepared and aware that that would be happening. So the guy that worked there had a phone call, and he hung up, and he looked at me, and he said, somebody has just called to let me know that they're paying for your tires.
Stop it.
And I just lost it, just completely lost it.
Wow, really?
And to this, amazing. It was like a television show. I was just like, I was so humbled and in awe of the situation. To this day, I still don't know who that was.
Shut up, I go to work. Really?
I know. It was just such a blessing. I go to work, and so I'm so excited about my tires. I tell my coworkers, I'm like, this is wonderful. And I check my bank account, and there's $500 in there. And I had cents in there before, and I was like, what? So I had somebody from the bank look it up, and somebody that I still don't know to this day, deposited $500 in my account. And it was, I just lost it and cried, and I was just so thankful. And I'm still so thankful and humbled. And it's just, and that's just a couple stories. I could tell you, I could be here all day telling you stories about how God has sent people into my life that have helped me not only financially, but emotionally. And it's just unbelievable. And what I love about this is that I am now at the position where I'm able to help somebody else.
Praise
and
the
it's
Lord.
Just wonderful. Yes, and it's just wonderful because my first thought is, oh, you know, if I can in any way, I will help because I know
Praise
what it was
Lord.
Like. And God's given me that grace and that just that ability to, you know, be empathetic towards people because I've been there. And I've also been that person that received. And which makes me think, too, is that through my prideness and my stubbornness. I think if somebody was like, I'm going to give you $500, I would have said, no, I can do it on my own. You know, I can do it on my own. And it's just, I think in a situation, especially when you know that you really need help, it's okay to humble yourself and receive if somebody is giving out of their heart, you know.
Yes.
You know, if they really truly want to help you, they're doing it not to be like, oh, look at me, but they truly want to help you. And sometimes it's what a blessing. God sent you that person, and it's okay to accept that. And sometimes it's hard because it's hard to be, you know, everyone wants to be that person that helps others but doesn't need help. But I think at some point in life, everyone has a time in life where they need help in, gosh, in a ton of different ways. But it's just, you know, accepting that help when it's given to you. Because, you know, it's just, it is amazing.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
It's unbelievable.
I feel so, like, excited right now to hear that. Folks, you're listening. It goes back to our control scripture, your value. God values you. He will drop $500 in your account. He will make sure that things are getting met. It's not so much like that God's going to drop $1 million into your lap. That's not what we're saying here. But it goes back to your value, that God says, are you not of more value? I'm not going to leave you alone. Rachel said earlier, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you know, the scripture that I think of in Numbers, when Rachel, when I hear that story, it reminded me of when God said, is God's arm too short? Or Moses said that, rather. And many people, you're out there listening, and you're trying to do it on your own. You've maybe been the giver, but now you're being asked to receive. I never knew how hard it was to receive until I had to be in the position of need.
Yes.
That I was no longer the supplier. I was the one receiving. Many of you out there, you're listening right now, I don't want welfare. I was on unemployment just like that, a $50,000 drop in my income. I mean, in the unemployment line, trying to figure out what my next steps were, having to juggle pennies and quarters when I was used to money that folded. But there was, you see how, I hope you heard, I hope you didn't miss it. Rachel, after everything that she said, what did she say, folks? I hope you heard it. That due to her going through what she went through, she can no longer watch someone else go through it. That now that she's back in the position, now that she's in the driver's seat, she wants to give to others. I hope you're seeing how God works here. I hope you see that what we're going through is never meant just like God's playing a joke on you. No. These are things that we take with us, and now she looks and her empathy is 100, 200, 5,000 times more because she knows what it feels like. The scripture, you know, I know many of us, I know including myself, I struggled with tithes. I didn't quite understand it. I really based my definition on what I had heard. I based my definition on what I had seen. We're not going to lie to you today. I'm not going to lie to you that I do see in churches that tithe is being exploited. Tithe is being presented in a poor light. It's you know, not necessarily being explained. And what I had learned through my own experience with tithe, I'm a firm believer that in order for people to tithe, they need a personal experience. I don't think people can part with their green cash unless there's a personal experience. We're so connected to it. We so need money. And so when somebody asks us to give of ourselves in that fashion, in a monetary way, we struggle greatly. And we need to have a reason. I need to know why. I need to know so that I can do that with an open heart, with a willing heart. And my experience as I was going through my separation, I was in a year-long Bible study, and I had met, I had started to meet people in the church, and then I was invited into this woman's Bible study. We were actually called the Bible Babes.
Uh-huh.
I just
That's
loved
so great.
It. Bible Babes. So it is awesome, you know. I just love that. I'm like, yeah, that's right. That's right. Don't take away our beauty.
That's right.
So in the Bible Babes, I had met one of my dear friends now, and she's one of my best friends now. She struggles with her faith. She struggles with questions. She struggles with answers. She struggles as well as what she sees. And when I was going through my separation and my divorce, she had also gone through a divorce, and hers was, oh, my goodness. You know, Rachel, you always talk about the other stories that you hear where you have to stop and say, oh, my goodness, like, yours is worse than mine. Yeah. You never think anybody's mm-hmm. story is worse, but, whew,
yep.
there's many. So,
definitely.
Long story short, I was struggling financially. And my struggle financially wasn't because of my ex-husband leaving. It was transition that happened within my job. I struggled emotionally greatly from my divorce, but it wasn't financially until things started to shift in my job. God took over my life, and I mean that in the best way, because I allowed God to take over my life. So when God took over my life and in my heart, I wanted to serve him, but serving him, I struggled with being at my job. So, you know, things shifted, and, you know, my moral compass was heightened. My values changed. Things that weren't important to me became so important to me, and I couldn't function at a place that, frankly, wasn't about that. So, This woman, we became great friends, and I tell you that she struggled with her faith because to me it was so important to this story, because she one day said to me, I want to give you $1,500. I don't want you in. I remember I struggled. I kept saying to her, like, well, you know, what are you going to do that for? And then she stopped me, and she said, Deborah, please, please let God bless you through me. Tears just ran down my face.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
Let me do it. You know, we often hear Psalms 23, oof, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. I question that scripture, because why would he have to make you lie down in green pastures? But she had to make me take the money. Mm. Rachel talks about the ego,
wow,
and the stubbornness. That when God is trying to bless you, you hear people, even Christians, oh, no, 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 you take that. God is trying to bless you, right? Oh,
yes.
No, 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 give that to someone that needs it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, folks? I know how to say I need now. I know. I try not to lie about that. I need help. I need a hug.
Mm-hmm.
I need conversation. And I bring up that scripture, Malachi 3:10, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. God's saying in the scripture, test him. If you do this, is a condition, if is a condition, if you can bring your heart to do this, to bring the full tithe, that person that dropped $500 into Rachel's account, that person that called up and said, I'm gonna pay for those tires. This woman that gave me money so that I could see my way clear. God says, bring the full tithe, and it will not open the wind. And he says, test him, because it will open the windows of heaven for you. And poor is talking about multiplication. He didn't say a single blessing. When you turn on your faucet and water pours out, it's not a drip drop. It's multiple. We're talking 30, 60, 90. And, folks, I'm not talking about monetary all the time. God can bless you in that way. But he can also bless you with wisdom. Ooh, he can bless you with faith. He can bless you with patience. Ooh, he can bless you with self-control. Because make no mistake, it's those ingredients that are going to help you navigate life. It's those ingredients. If you can humble yourself, if you can be obedient to the word of God, if, like Rachel said, you can remove your ego out the way and your stubbornness. This is the power of Scripture. This is the power of what it can do in your life. And when people take Scripture to heart, when that woman gave me the money that she parted with her hard-earned money, she worked hard for her money, but she gave it to me. Why would she do that? Some of you out there, you're listening right now, and God's trying to bless you. Take my advice. Let him. Let him.
Amen.
Just let him. There was a wonderful woman that was on Dovetails before, and she said, when God blesses you and the blessing comes, many times we say, well, you know what, Laura, let me pray about it. She told me, when God answers prayer, you don't need to pray about it. It's an answer. Take it. Oh, powerful.
Good
Just
stuff.
Powerful.
Yeah.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. We're on fire today.
So amazing.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Now, there's some questions, Rachel, that I wanted to even start off with you. One of the questions was, what do I tell my kids about the situation with my ex and I? And folks, the lead up to this point, I wanted to demonstrate to you some of the things that you're going to need in order to answer some of these specific questions in your life. The Bible is going to give you general principles. It's going to give you structure. It's going to give you way of life. However, everyone suffers from something different. Everyone is anxious about something different. Everybody has different ways that they do things. And so the application is different. But we hope that, A, you understand your value, that you understand that God, even if your husband or wife or children or families or coworkers or friends do not hold you at high value, understand that God does. And God, for me, is the only one that counts. It's Him. We are made in His image, so we have to begin to like ourselves. We have to begin to do that. That has something to do with how we understand our self-worth, our value, what we think of ourselves. I can't tell you how many people I know that have a PhD but don't like themselves. How many people I know that got a doctorate but don't like themselves. It has to start somewhere. And I know since I was made in His image, I got a little bit of God in me. Yes, I got the Holy Spirit, the down payment to what I'm going to get when I come into His glory. Hallelujah. And so I like myself. So that can answer some of the questions that many of you might have out there. Rachel spoke about humbling yourself. Sometimes you got to humble yourself to the Lord. And so with those things being said, Rachel, I didn't have children yet. So with this question, could you take the mic?
Sure. I think this could go many different ways. But I think you would have to use a certain amount of wisdom to be able to speak to your children in a certain way, because it's a different answer for different age groups. So ultimately, like with my daughter, she was only 3. So, and of course she says, where's daddy? So my thought, we still go with it to this day, because I really, he's a great father and a caring man, and even regardless. But I told her, I was like, well, mommy and daddy decided to be friends. But we still love each other very much, and we love you very much. Because I think the important thing is that to not speak about your ex-spouse or soon-to-be ex-spouse in a negative light, because they could have been the worst person ever, but they're still the child's parent, and they love them regardless, because it's their parent. So I think there is, you know, age-wise, there is a certain level that you just have to keep to yourself, either forever or, you know, until they get older, and you can tell them details where they're emotionally ready and grown enough, mature enough to understand. So really, I just, whichever way that you do speak it out, keep in mind to not put down the other person in front of the child, because then they will feel that they are put in the middle. They will feel like, oh, you know, it could turn into something, because they already feel very obviously upset, and some could feel like it's their fault. So they don't want to be put in the middle of something, or to, you know, I thought my parent was this way, and my, you know, my mom or dad is telling me that's not how they are. And it could really give them a hard time emotionally and maturing-wise as they're growing older. So I would say just use wisdom. You know your child better than anyone, you know, other than God. So just really speak to them in a mature way that they're going to understand, and still do it in a kind manner, because it's still their parent and they love them.
Wow.
So,
and I'm telling you. No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, it could go many different ways, but the gist of it, I, you know, would be that.
I just think that's huge. I really think that's huge. Truth be told, I think that advice is also for people that are married, not even, you know, as well as going through a separation or divorce. I mean, if you are in a family unit and you are really, as a family, you have a vision of where you're trying to go, you really shouldn't be, especially the children, they're absorbing so much. Even when they're older, like some of you, you know, we're always conditioned with, oh, there's a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old or a 12-year-old. But even as children grow up into adults, we are listening as to what you are saying about our father or our mother. And
yeah.
So even in the best of families, we should, I think that advice, Rachel, is great, let alone when you're going through a separation
mm-hmm.
or divorce, right?
Oh, I completely agree. Completely agree, because it can, you know, children are very susceptible, and they let, you know, they suck in all that information that we don't even think they do. So while you're saying something, they remember that, and it can affect them. You know, I'm not a psychologist or a counselor, but I, from doing, you know, years of divorce care and being with people, and this topic has come up, you know, I've seen some really, you know, hard situations where people divulge terrible things to their kids. And I think that could really cause some traumatic experiences for them and really skew their view of their parents. Now it's just like, wow, my whole you know, it's almost like my whole life has been a lie. So like you said, even with an intact family that you're married, you know, keep that fighting at a distance. You know, keep it between you, because your children are innocent and they do not need to see those things. And, you know, it creates a fear in them as well. You know, it just goes on the faith and fear thing. It's like, you know, you don't want to instill that fear in them. It's like, oh, you know, in insecurity. So.
And rather than passing down, you know, having a tradition of Sunday dinner, you're passing down fear to the child. Because the child is really going, I mean, just like an animal can sense fear, you know, we as humans can sense that too. We can tell when someone's upset. We can tell when something's going wrong with mommy and daddy, and we can tell something has happened. We might not understand all of it, but we can see that. What about in regards to children, Rachel, parents that you don't, in your pain yourself, because you're handling a situation. I have to give it to parents that are single parents after a divorce or separation. I struggled so much on my own. I can't imagine having to take care of a little one while going through what I went through. That has opened my eyes to just the grace of the Lord and the mercy of the Lord to be able to give that endurance and strength and to still raise a child or children. Many parents, like what you're saying, you know, we don't realize it, but we're giving information to a child too soon. They don't need to know that. Mm. They don't need to know that their mother is has poor values. They don't need to know that their father cheated. They don't need to know that right now. You know, yeah. One thing my sister, I applaud her on, she went through a divorce and she struggled greatly, but she allowed her daughter's relationship with her father to unfold when it was right to unfold in their relationship. She never, I mean, it was beautiful. I thought, God, this is so wonderful. She never pushed it. She never said, can't you see that he's this way? She never did that. She had to hold it in, and sometimes her daughter would be defending her father. My sister just let it go because she said that's what she sees right now. I need to allow that to take its natural course, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, Rachel, I wanted to ask, you know, what about – I mean, how do people that are listening today, sometimes with parents' actions, they can almost make a child or make a child feel as if they have to choose between the parent. What about that?
Well, I think that goes along with, you know, it's almost like a lot of people try to get back at their ex-spouse in a certain way by turning the child against them, because that's almost like the most, you know, the biggest weapon that you have is your child.
Mm.
In some cases, you know.
Angelina Jolie. Sorry, I had to say that.
And I think by doing that, it's like they already have this view of this parent, and for the most part, it's love and nurturing. And I think by, you know, putting them in the middle of a situation where they have to try to hold their family together.
Mm.
And by you pushing or using, you know, something like that against your spouse, it's just not only causing more conflicts than you would have had, but it's also creating so much emotional damage for all parties.
Mm.
And it's one of those things, it's hard, especially if you've been hurt, like really, truly hurt by somebody. You want to hurt them back. You know, it's just like, you don't want to hurt anymore. I'm going to make you hurt like I hurt. You know, that's sometimes our first thing. So by using, you know, our children in the midst of that, I mean, the chaos that it's creating because of it. And it's just, again, causing so much just hurt and depression and anxiety. And a lot of these things, too, that, you know, that come up in a situation like that, it follows you as they grow, you know, as they grow older and their minds mature, and, you know, it could, you know, skew their view or skew their, you know, emotional, you know, how they associate with people.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they've seen their parents do that and they feel like, I have to be on the defensive with everybody. You know, I always have to be on the defensive. I have to fear everything because somebody might, you know, do something against me. And, you know, and I think it just creates so much. And in a situation that is difficult, it's important to just stop and just think before you send a text message. Think before you send an email. Really think out the repercussions of what this could be.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, we do this out of emotion, and it's angry, and, you know, and it happens. But take that time and really think of what could happen, and think of how important your children are. And how important, you know, in an already difficult situation of you know, a broken family, you have to really push your own emotions aside and try to think, is it worth it? You know, is it really, really worth doing what I want to do or what I have done?
Mm. Oh, that's great advice. Folks, I hope you wrote that down on your pamphlet. There you go. There's a tool for your toolbox. Don't make decisions out of emotion. Now, one thing some of you might be listening, you're saying, well, even if I wait to make the decision, it's going to be still the same decision. And that is fine. But there's wisdom in waiting. Why? Because God is trying to change our hearts. So it's your heart posture while you're making that decision. If your heart posture is pissed off, angry, and revenge, yeah, you might 6 months later still be making the same decision, but it's not in the heart posture of anger. It's not in the heart posture of revenge. I know for myself, I was very upset, very angry, and part of it was revenge. Part of it was I just needed to do something. I needed to do something to finalize my life, to be moving on. But, you know, truth be told, just because I made a decision on something, it didn't mean that my emotions moved there. It didn't mean all of a sudden, poof, I had peace. It didn't. But 6 months later, when I still decided after things had gone so horribly wrong, I tried to rekindle my marriage. I tried to fight for the marriage. My ex-husband, he had gotten another woman pregnant, and so he was most certainly on his way out the door, and he did not want to come back. And so I still made the same decision, but God got me to a place of peace. I didn't want to file divorce papers, but I, at that point, it was like, you know what? It's not happening. And again, my ex-husband's still a good person. I need to say that. I don't hate him, or there's no ill feeling towards him. We all struggle with things in our lives, and we all make decisions that end up maybe not being right or whatever. But I'm so glad that the Lord brought me to that place to still pray for him and to still know that he's a decent person. We just all sometimes have circumstances that come to this point where it's either fight or flight, and he chose flight. And I'm glad that the Lord emotionally got me to a place that when I filed for divorce, I still was sad, but I knew that it was the right thing to do, and I wasn't angry. And even when I got my divorce papers, I even went to my pastor and I said, I need for you to pray for me because, you know, before I signed, you know, before I want to make sure that I've exhausted everything before we got a divorce. And I knew that we did. I walk away with my head up high. And so with that being said, again, you know, waiting, wisdom in waiting. God is doing something inside of you, so keep that in mind. Rachel, I wanted to talk about kind of still on the point of children is sometimes to get their affection, we're not necessarily talking bad about dad, but what we're doing is taking money we don't have and buying them things, trying to win them over. Yeah. We're not spending quality time. We're not helping them with their homework. They're failing school, but yet they got the best set of sneakers. They're popular with great clothes on. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, I think it's just you're taking your emotion. It's almost, I consider in a class of some people choose to, you know, drink or do drugs, and some people choose to spend money. And they want to make up for that hurt that, you know, the child is going through and they're going through, and they feel like they're less than already because of the situation that they've gone through. But it's just they make up for it in that sense of, I have to buy you everything because it'll make you happy. Just like if I buy myself stuff, it'll make me happy. And what people, you know, sometimes do realize after, you know, going through something like that, is that it doesn't do anything for the child because they're still missing that emotional aspect from you. They're still missing those memories from you, that time with you. In my situation, I didn't have that problem because I didn't have money to. So in my fault, but I had it in a sense because her dad did. So I felt so miserable. I'm not enough. I'm not good enough because I can't buy you things. You know, like, what kind of mother am I because I can't buy you everything that you want and take you to dinner and take you to lunch? And I went through a period of time where I would just do nothing. We would just do nothing because, we're not spending money, so why do anything at all? Mm-hmm. But what a child needs is your attention and your love and those memories, because that's what they remember. You know, you could buy your kid a million things for Christmas and they could care less the next day, you know, but they remember those memories and that time spent. Remember when we did this, and remember when we did this. And what you do does not have to cost money. It doesn't. You can explore in the woods. You can, you know, go to the park. You can, you know, camp in your backyard. Like, you can make it so fun without spending a dime. And I think when you spend all this money, not only are you hurting, you know, your family budget, you know, you're missing out on other things because you're spending so much money on that. But those kids are still lacking, because what they want is you, is their family, because they're already so lost because of this, you know, their broken family. And money doesn't fix that as much as we'd like to think it does. But what they need is that time, you know. What they need is your love, and for you to be there and comfort them, because that's what they need. And even for a child, sometimes they're like, this is great. You know, I'm getting all this stuff. Thank God my parents got divorced, because this is the best time ever. But then they look back, and what were those material things to them? It was nothing, because it was a momentary thing, whereas, you know, the emotional aspect, that love, that time, is something that lasts with you forever. Forever.
Amen. I love that. It's funny. I know gifts is one of the love languages, and quality time is a love language, and they have five of the love languages, but... You know, this wonderful book called The Blessing that I read by Gary Smalling, and there's another author as well, and Trent, the last name is Trent. But anyway, it just talks about passing down that blessing to children, and none of it was monetary. None of it was gifting. It was words of affirmation. Oh, words of affirmation, and looking a child into their eyes, encouraging them, being present in their lives. A lot of times we're giving these, we're giving structure in the way that we're really just giving rules. But yet there's no, it's the way a parent might do that. A child might do something wrong, and what we do, we send them to their room, but we don't give an explanation. We don't sit down with them and say, okay, what did you understand out of this, and do you know why I sent you to your room?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's your process? Like, what's going on that you did that, first of all? But then what was your reasoning, and do you see why I had to do this? And you sort of, and then at the end, you're hugging, and, you know, I'm not saying like it's like some sort of acoustic guitar comes out and we're all playing Kumbaya, no, but you're teaching the child, you know. And so there's just these methods, I believe, that when we are in close proximity with the Lord, he teaches us that. I don't think we come out of the womb knowing how to raise a child. I don't believe that.
Mm-mm.
I don't think it comes. But when we're in close proximity to the Lord, he really does give that blueprint, because we are also his children being raised by him. And he gives us children as a gift. And
mm-hmm.
keeping God in the midst of it while we are raising them is so very important. Well, we're going to take a really, really short break. I'm so glad we covered a really lot of ground. When we come back, we're going to talk of some final thoughts, because we're coming to the end of our program. And I also wanted to just, with our last thought, those of you out there, you're listening, you feel that there's no light at the end of the tunnel. So we're going to talk a little bit about that as we close. So we will, as you know, be right back. Sorry about that, folks. We're having some minor technical difficulty, but we are back. And Rachel, you're there?
Yes, I'm here.
So I wanted to just speak a little bit in regards to many listeners thinking that this is just never going to end, that they're not going to get to the end of this horrible tunnel. Almost like in the movies where you see somebody kind of go down this well and they're pulling at the sides. So I wanted to talk about that, but I wanted to bring up Psalms 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk upright. So I wanted to sort of place that in there and kind of two of the words that are there. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. And it was those two words that really stuck out for me, because the sun is light, and in the Bible there's a lot of play on light and darkness. Some pastors, some theologians, and many feel that light is knowledge and dark is obviously ignorance. And so for the Lord God is a sun. He's a sun, meaning I know many of you think you're never going to get to the end of the tunnel, but he is knowledge to you. And with that knowledge, you can do much with it. You could, if you know your value, if you humble yourself in the Lord, if you allow him to help you, if you somehow can change your mind and receive what it is that he's trying to give you, that sun, even though you are scared and maybe you're used to doing things in the dark and now you're being brought to the light, it's still knowledge. And then the Lord is a shield. He's a protector. Oh, he's our refuge. He's our hiding place. I hope that through this broadcast today, as we continue on separation and divorce, that you can see that the Lord, that he is your shield and he is your protector and he is your salvation and he is your shepherd and he is your refuge and he is your restoration. He's those things. And that the Lord bestows favor and honor. So don't concentrate that on the tunnel. Concentrate on him. Rachel, did you want to add?
Sure. I think it's just one of those things to remember, and I was a young, early into Christianity at the time, but to know that whatever you are going through, like you said, God is there. He's never left. He will always walk alongside you. And whatever you are going through, as terrible as it could be, I have learned so much from everything. God has given me strength. He's given me wisdom. He's given me knowledge. He's given me a way to, you know, make it where I thought there was no way at all. And it's amazing because I use those things now when I say, you know what, I made it through all of these things. And yes, it was hard. And, you know, it was difficult. And it did feel like it wasn't going to end, but it did end. And it got better every single day. And the entire time, the Lord never left my side. And I think that's why it's important, again, to journal, because I wouldn't have remembered these things. Those difficult times that I went through, God restored. No, I didn't have money, but who did he bring into my life? You know, No, I wasn't well, and, you know, I had depression. But when I called on him, it instantly left me. And now I know through that I need to call on him because he's there waiting. He's there preparing me, you know, strengthening me, building me up, healing me every single day. So it might seem like, you know, the longest days of your life, but even though it's long, you might not know it, but he's still working within you. He's still, you know, taking those moments and creating something with them, creating, you know, just even if it's a story to tell to help somebody else when you get to that point. So never, just try not to be discouraged, because God has only love and only the best for you, and he will not leave you stranded. And that's where faith comes in. Just have faith that he is there. He will provide. He loves you just endlessly. And
oh, that's beautiful.
Just keep going. Don't give up, because there is an end. Even though you don't see it, it's there. And it's better than you could ever imagine from experience. Man.
Yes,
and I'm just getting started.
Well, before I officially close, can you talk to our listeners about divorce care, what it is and how it can help?
Sure. Divorce care is a support group that meets at many different places throughout the nation and some places in other parts of the world. It is a support group that is part of it's a video. You have a work to work with, and you have a group of individuals that you may not have met, men and women, young and old, completely different situations, but you go through, you know, you're going through the same thing regardless. You're going through hurt, you're going through pain, and this is to help you grow, to learn, to heal, and just to have the ability to be alongside people so you know that you're not alone was the most amazing thing for me personally. So it's really a blessing. And it's divorcecare.org, and you can actually type in to see if there's one near you, if there's a divorce care session going on near you. So
yes, that's what I did. That's what I did. Both Rachel and I both attended divorce care several times. And folks, you have workbook, you also have videos. And keep in mind, while you were there, you don't have to talk if you don't want to. They understand just the nature of the group is you're full of emotion. And but if you can find one that's near you, it really, really helped Rachel and I. And for this series, we really have been promoting it because it was something that we both experienced. Rachel and I will never promote something to you that we haven't gone through and tested it ourselves. So rest assured that we are trying to lead you to the sweet water. Rachel, again, she is a blogger. She has website, www.revivehouse.com, and she is the author of our beautiful book, Healing Grace Scripture Journal, 30-day Bible study journal for emotional healing. And again, I'm the founder of DCL Ministries, and we just are delighted to have you. I wanted to end this broadcast with, it's just a snippet, pretty much a devotional that I've read. I've read it before, but I just love this one, and it just means so much to me. I read from an NIV translation Bible, and many times in Bibles they'll have inspirational quotes or something from a pastor folded into the pages. And so this is one that just touched me so much, and I can't seem to let go of it, so I won't. But I will read it to you. When life caves in, you do not need reasons. You need comfort. You do not need some answers. You need someone. And Jesus does not come to us with an explanation. He comes to us with his presence. We are always seeking the reason. We want to know why. Like Job, we finally want God to tell us what is going on. But God does not reveal his plan. He reveals himself. He comes to us as warmth when we are cold, fellowship when we are alone, strength when we are weak, peace when we are troubled, courage when we are afraid, songs when we are sad, and bread when we are hungry. He is with us on our journeys. He is there when we are home. He sits with us at our table. He knows about funerals and weddings and commencements and hospitals and jails and unemployment and labor and laughter and rest and tears. He knows because he is with us. He comes to us again and again and again. Until next time, please keep sharing your dovetail, and God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in. And to listen to this show and other shows, visit the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media or download Stitcher on your mobile device so you can tune in to next week for another Dovetails with Deborah.